Smell this closer. Hopefully you can hear me. Ah, oh yeah. That's coffee. Yes, that is a good coffee. All right. Good morning. Good morning. Oh my goodness, it's been so long. I deeply apologize to the 13 hardcore fans that listen to this podcast. For you 13, if you think anybody else would like this, please help me out. Share it. Whatever you need to, whatever you can, help me out. I'd like to make this part of my life a little bit more impactful, a little bit more important, as far as what I want to do as like a career. You know, I know maybe podcasting isn't the right way to go, stuff like that, but if I could just get this a little bit, if I could give this a little bit more attention, you know, get some, well, I do have more equipment, you know, start using that equipment, start actually being able to bring guests along, that would be very helpful as well. So again, if you can share this with whoever you can, you know, especially this one's a big topic today because of how popular and how in demand it's become in culture. So, first off, good morning. Welcome to season 3, episode, I don't know yet, scrolling through my notes, sorry. Episode 7, I think? Yikes, I don't know. I want to say 7. Let me see. So many. Okay, let me see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah, I think it's 7. Yeah, I'm gonna go 7. Alright, welcome to episode 7. Today's topic, I don't know if you can hear it in the background, is about the newest Disney animated movie, Encanto. This movie is very relatable to a lot of South American, Mexican heritage, but a lot of other, that's where it focuses. It focuses in like the area of Colombia. If you haven't seen the movie, excuse me, I'm sorry. If you haven't seen the movie, big spoiler alerts, but let's be honest, who hasn't seen this movie? Because on TikTok, on Instagram, it's pretty much all anybody's talking about right now because of how popular it is, how impactful it is, how in demand it is, to be honest. So I'm going to go in detail a little bit about it, a little bit about why it's impactful to me, at least. It goes with dealing with traditions and dealing with generations, dealing with being under pressure, a lot of different things, feeling special, feeling not special enough, and then just all around loving your family is probably the biggest thing. Loving your family for who they are, loving your family for what they can become, what they do, and not trying to shadow or shut down family members that feel like, I guess, they don't do enough, because everybody does in their own special way. So, first off, getting back into it. So this movie centers around a young granddaughter named Mirabel, and her entire family that came from her abuela they all have kind of a special gift. The abuela had 3 children, 2 daughters and a son. Pepa, one of the daughters, her mood can affect the weather. And I can't even remember Mirabel's mom's name. Now I feel bad. Pressure. That'll never stop. Well, Julieta. Her mom is Julieta, and she makes food. But her food, if you eat it, it can heal you from whatever you're going through. And then there's her Uncle Bruno. And yes, I know we don't talk about Bruno, but excuse me. Her Uncle Bruno can see the future. You know, he has visions of the future. And then it goes down into their children. The sisters get married and they have children. Julieta's, or is it Julieta's? Either way. She has three children and Peppa has three children. Peppa's children are Dolores, Camilo, and Antonio. Dolores has the ability to basically hear anything. She can hear a pin drop. You know, they talk about it in some of the songs. She can hear secrets being said. What in the world? From across town. Which is pretty incredible. And then you have Camilo, who has the ability to shapeshift into other people in the town. And then last but not least, you have Antonio. And he's the youngest out of all the grandchildren, and he gets his gift during the movie, and he has the ability to communicate with animals. And then you go to the other sister, Julieta's side. She has three daughters. Luisa, who is very strong. You know, she can lift anything, and just, like I said, overall strength. Then you have Isabella, who has the ability to control plants. And then you have the main character, Mirabel. Sorry, I have to sing a little. Rats along his back, when he calls your name, it all fades to black. Yeah, he sees your dreams and feasts on your screams. My apologies, I just cannot listen to the song without singing that verse. Anyways, you have the main character, Mirabel. And the way the movie goes is each child, each grandchild, they go up to this enchanted house. The house has the ability to move around. It can do anything from helping set up the table to closing blinds and stuff like that. It's pretty cool, actually. It's an interesting concept, but it also has the ability to give the children and the grandchildren their gifts, their abilities. So what happens is, at a certain age, the children, the grandchildren will go up to a specific door that is glowing. They touch the doorknob, and the door and the house, whose name is Casita, they determine what the gift is for that child. And then they create a room based on that gift to help them kind of develop that gift even more and use it, and it deals with their personality. It's a really cool concept, actually. Like, if your house was able to identify your personality, your passions, all that stuff, and then all of a sudden it just creates a room that's designed for you. It's pretty cool. So, getting back to it, sorry. Trail off. Mirabella. When she became of age, she wasn't able to, or when she went to the glowing door frame, the door disappeared, so she didn't get a gift. And almost everybody in the casita has kind of looked at her as an outcast, as a burden. At least that's how she feels sometimes. But she's always loved her family, so she's always trying to do what she can when she can without these abilities. Which, again, is tough. You know, growing up, you're just always trying to do what you can when you can. And I feel like growing up in that kind of environment would be harsh on somebody who didn't receive a gift. But that's how the movie goes. And then it just shows that, like, the children who have gifts kind of follow the rules of their abuela, because she doesn't want to lose the gifts. They were given this sanctuary because of horrible people, and with that sanctuary came the casita, and with the casita came the abilities for the children, the grandchildren, stuff like that. So the grandma's trying to preserve that tradition, but with each generation it kind of takes a toll on the children and the grandchildren. And being from Filipino and Mexican descent, you kind of see that, or we see that in everyday life, you know, traditions that just want to be passed down and passed down, but at the same time, you have the children growing up the way they grow up, and then you have the grandchildren growing up the way they want to grow up. So this movie is also about acceptance of new traditions and acceptance of kind of taking old traditions and taking new concepts and figuring out figuring out a way to mesh them together to where it's beneficial for both parties. This movie came out back in December, and it has been an international hit in every way possible. I know that the song We Don't Talk About Bruno has surpassed certain Disney songs that have become very popular. This movie has become one of the highest grossing, maybe not grossing, highest viewed movies from Disney. And it just kind of keeps climbing because of how popular it is. You know, kids love it. What's cool about it and what I like about it is, being me, I look at movies from so many different points of views. I look at it from the storyteller's views, the writer. I look at it from the directing. I look at it from the acting. And it's an animated movie, so it's kind of hard to see the acting, but you can hear it in their voice. Like, I guess that's something that I feel doesn't get talked about enough is voice acting. Voice acting is something that I feel people think is just too easy, but it's not, because you have to show your emotions through your voice, because the animators are going to show their emotions, you know. So if something happens to where it's very sad, you know, you got to kind of bring your tone down, and it's hard, you know, and you slow down a little bit because you're trying to hold back the tears, or you're trying to hold back from raging out, and then you get really excited and you just start talking a little bit faster, and you're just so jumpy, and you can hear it in their voice. And I think that's why podcasting is so cool too, and why I got into it. But it is a tough job of acting, because like I said, you're reading the paper, but then you have the writers who are like, hey, this is how the scene's supposed to go, so let's try to create that. And this movie just showcased that in an amazing way. Excuse me, I'm sorry that you had to hear that. My other favorite thing is that it was written by one of my favorite writers, Lin-Manuel Miranda. If you don't know who he is, I feel a little bad, because he has helped make some of the most amazing content in the world right now. He came up with the idea of Hamilton, first off, and that one was a national hit, a national box office, is a national musical. That thing, I think, if I'm not mistaken, it's still on tour. I'm not 100% sure, but no, I think it is still on tour, because I know that there are tickets being sold for my city. But he wrote that entirely, not entirely by himself. He probably had a team behind him, but he came up with the concept, musically or lyrically. Writing the dialogue for the scenes that aren't part of the music and stuff like that. It's pretty cool. And then, let me see, what else did he do? I have a list, sorry. He did the musical In the Heights, which at first I think was like a not known. What is the word for that? I'm sorry, it's the warning. It was a musical that wasn't really known at the time. He helped make the movie Tick, Tick, Boom, which is a very popular movie right now on Netflix that deals with the writer and creator of the musical Rent that became a pretty good hit. He was in the movie Mary Poppins Returns. He helped write the music, and I don't know about the script, but I know it was mostly the music for the other Disney movie, Moana, just to name a few. So he's big, or he's doing great things right now in the world of Disney, in the world of musicals, in the world of writing. You know, like I said, I think he's a really good writer, and I you know, kind of look up to him a little bit because of it, because I sometimes write my own stuff, excuse me, and I like his take on things. You know, he showcases The big thing that I like the most is that I feel like he showcases the Mexican and South American heritage in a unique way that is just, it's helping our culture. You know, you go on TikTok right now, at least from what I've seen, it might be just from my You page, but going on TikTok right now, one, I see a lot of Filipino content, you know, talking about grandparents. Food is another big one and stuff like that. I also see a lot of Mexican and South American stuff or content. And again, it's mostly kind of dealing with food, but you have the musical culture and the entertainment culture. Like, it's just a lot of content. And I feel like Lin-Manuel Miranda kind of helped broaden America's eyes to that. It's an opinion. If you disagree, sorry I upset you or offended you, whatever. But that's how I feel. I feel like that's what he's done. And this movie just helps it even more. Another cool thing that I find amazing about this movie is that the main character, Mirabel, is the first main character in a sort of Disney princessy vibe movie that wears glasses. You don't see that often. You didn't see that often, you know, in movies before, but it's showcasing to girls that, I don't know how to say this, basically, but I have seen it on a lot of my For You page where somebody will post a video of their daughter and she's wearing glasses and she's looking at the TV screen. She's like, whoa, she's wearing glasses just like me. And it gives them that little boost of confidence and stuff like that. It's amazing, you know, and I absolutely love it. Another big thing is the character Luisa. You know, she's this big, strong female character. She helps lift things, the heavy burdens of the town and whatnot. And from what I'm understanding, Disney was butting heads with the creators because they didn't want Luisa to look buff and strong, and they didn't think that her toys would sell as much as like Isabella, who, you know, is very elegant and pristine and flowery. And they fought really hard, but they got what they wanted. And Luisa, you know, has that tough physique, that bodybuilder type physique, and she's become a hit. You know, I'm not mistaken, her toys, from what I read, her toys have sold out a little bit faster than Isabella's. And I find that really cool too. Like, it's showing that these little girls who look at this movie, they can become strong. Like, they don't have to worry about, I guess, feeling ashamed or whatever. I'm not sure how to word that, but they can be as strong as Luisa. They can, or they have somebody to kind of look up to that's not so much a princess, with Luisa and with Mirabel, if I'm being 100% honest. And again, I find that amazing. And with that, I've tried to write some stuff that just kind of helps showcase that kind of uniqueness in society, because everybody is unique. And I think that's another thing with this movie, is it just shows the uniqueness of everybody, but it also shows how there are some people who look at them like, why are you doing that? Like, that's dumb and blah, blah, blah. And then these people who are unique are just like, dang, like, they kind of shut down and they're just like, maybe I should just stop altogether. And it brings them back and it's like, no, don't stop. Like, keep going. What are you doing? Don't feel like that at all. And I find that amazing. This movie has become a hit to the nation. Funko Pops are already popping out. You know, you have action figures, figurines coming, or just flying off the shelves. The music has just been downloaded like crazy, and the content that you see is amazing. You know, another cool thing is the costume designs. You know, you have the traditional South American costume designs, and you have creators on TikTok, on Instagram, who do cosplay, and their cosplaying as these characters, and they take a spin on it. They're like, oh, what if this costume was made today? Or what would these characters wear if this movie had a different setting in time? And I find that interesting, and I like looking at that kind of stuff, and, you know, it makes me want to figure out what I could record on TikTok. So if you have ideas, throw them at me. But, like I said, it's just been an amazing movie. The casting was fantastic. You have big ticket names. You have John Leguizamo, who is an amazing actor. You have Wilmer Valderrama, who is an amazing actor. You have Stephanie Beatriz, who is one of my favorite actors or actresses because she was... I just talked about another podcast. Oh, she was Rosa Diaz on Brooklyn Nine-Nine. You actually have the pop singer Maluma in this movie, you know, and then you have actresses from like Latin Colombian backgrounds. Like you have a singer named Adassa. I don't know if I said that right. I'm sorry if I didn't, but she's known for being a bilingual Afro-Latin Colombian singer, you know, and she plays Dolores. You have Diane Guerrero, who plays Isabella. You have Jessica Daro, who plays Luisa. And then, if I'm not mistaken, this lady is a big ticket name down in like South America and Mexican culture. Maria Cecilia Botero, who plays the abuela. And again, just an amazing cast, and the storyline is really cool. And what I like about it is it shows, and I feel like I've already said this, but it just shows how much pressure we put on ourselves to show our family that we love and care for them in every single way. The big ticket name is Bruno. So there's the song "We Don't Talk About Bruno" in the movie. You don't see Bruno until kind of the climax of the movie, and it's because he ran away when he was younger. Well, excuse me. I forgot what I was saying. Oh. He runs away because his prophecies, his visions were upsetting people. And it's crazy. Like, thinking about it, you know, taking it just a deep dive. You know, in the song, you have some of the townsmen coming, or the townsfolk coming, and they're like, oh, he told me my fish would die, and the next day dead. He told me I'd grow a gut. And just like he said, he told me all my hair would fall out, and now look at my head. And they're making it seem like he's an ugly person who's just trying to destroy people's morals, and I feel like that's not the case, because there's a Isabella's verse where he's saying, she said that he told her that she would have the life of her dreams, and I feel like the people who he has talked to, as soon as they heard the bad news, they kind of ran away because they were scared. You know, like, the first lady, she goes, he told me my fish would die, and the next day dead. And I felt like he was telling her as a warning, like, hey, your fish may die soon if you don't take care of it. But because she ran away, she didn't get to hear the last part, so it ended up dying because she worried too much or whatever. Same thing with the guy who, you know, grew a gut. He's like, hey, you're gonna grow a gut, but if you do this, you might not. Because in the movie, it shows that Mirabel is the reason why the house and the magic is kind of disappearing. But it is also shifting because she's also the one who can save it. You know, so it's like his visions can go either way. But people were too scared to see the positive because the negative outweighed it. And that's a big thing, is, you know, we kind of always think the worst possible scenario, but it's like, this could go a totally different way if we just kind of look at it from a different angle. And that's something that I feel is the case with Bruno. And with that, he started seeing that in himself. He was like, well, I'm just going to mess everything up, so maybe I should just leave. And it was pretty sad to see, you know. Before this movie came out, you see the posters and stuff, and in my head, I was like, oh, wow, like, Bruno's going to be this crazy bad guy that they have to fight or something. And it's not. It's just an uncle who was misled to believe that he was a family burden when he wasn't. He was just misunderstood, and it took a toll on him. And it wasn't just him. Like, in the song Surface Pressure, which is being sung by Luisa, the daughter who has like a lot of strength, you know, she feels like this pressure that she just has to do everything, she has to lift everything, she has to remove burdens from everybody's life, and it's taking a toll on her that she doesn't feel like she has time to relax because she's just so stressed out trying to figure out, did I do this right? Do I need to do this? Do I need to do that? And it's harsh. And then you have Isabella, who is like, in Mirabel's eyes, she's annoying because she's so perfect and pristine, but she has that burden where it's like, I have to be perfect. I have to be pristine. Everything has to go the way it's supposed to go. Everything has to look nice and neat and beautiful. That in the movie, all she's creating is flowers. And then in her song with Mirabel, she grows a cactus, and she's like, I've never grown that before. And then she's like, what else can I grow? You know, because all she's ever been told to do was grow flowers, make this look pretty, make this look pretty. And it's, again, just the pressure of like, everything has to look pretty, everything has to look pretty. And then when she finally kind of releases it, it's like, cactuses aren't ugly. You know, certain palm trees aren't ugly. It's just vines aren't ugly and stuff like that. So it's not just that she has the ability to grow flowers. It's that she has the ability to grow and kind of manipulate plant life, you know. And I think that's another big thing in the movie, is that sometimes we just need to release the pressure that's being put on us, or talk it out. One of the big moments is that Mirabel, because she doesn't have a gift, her family, or some of her family, kind of makes her feel like she's just this huge burden, and that she's not important because she's not as helpful as the others with their abilities. But she does, excuse me, whatever she can do to make sure that her family members are okay, that they're taken care of. Like the little small things, like decorating the house, even though it can decorate itself, or helping out by setting the table, you know, things that kind of go unnoticed. But to her, it's like the big things, because it helps the family, you know. And I think that's something that society kind of needs to see. And again, it's another reason why I like Lin-Manuel Miranda's content, the stuff that he creates, because I feel like that's extremely true. Like, it's tough being in society, because you go on social media and you see artists and you see models and they look so perfect and they get so many likes, and then you're like, man, I gotta do this, I gotta do that. And it's like, you kind of don't, though. Like, just be yourself, which is what the characters in this movie are trying to do. You know, they want to be themselves, but they're kind of told, like, no, it has to be perfect, you have to do this. And it's like, okay, well, because it's coming from the abuela, it's like, well, she has authority, so I gotta do it, you know. And that's how it is growing up, you know. Your parents tell you to do something, and it's like, all right, I gotta do it. Like, let me just do it, I'll get it done the right way, everything's gonna be okay. And then something else happens, and then something else comes up, and it just kind of keeps going. And it just shows the difference between the generations, you know. And I feel like that's another thing that isn't quite shown in society today. Like, you have generations of people back in the day kind of having like arranged marriages, and now there it's not so much that, you know, and the older generation is like, well, that's weird and stuff like that. So it's like, I'm sorry that that's weird, but that's how it is now, and you just, it's got to be accepted, so to speak. But again, this movie is just really cool. I noticed on Facebook, my girlfriend had showed me that there is this quiz you can take to show you which character you are. And I took it twice. And it was really cool. Like, the first question is, like, how would your friends describe you? And it gives you 9 different answers that you can pick. The second one is, choose a gift that you'd like to have. It's not the gifts from the movie, but they are pretty unique. And then it's saying, pick a song from the movie that you cannot stop listening to, and that's everybody. And then it's asking you to pick a project that Lin-Manuel Miranda has worked on, and it gives you, again, 9 different possibilities. And then the final thing is, pick something important from Encanto. No, there was another one. There was a pick a sidekick. But, and the sidekick came from different things, other Disney movies. And then the last one was, pick something important from Encanto. And then it tells you, like, who you are, and it gives you a description of them. Like, for me, when I first took it, I got Bruno. It said, you're Bruno. Like Bruno, you're misunderstood and treated unfairly for things and visions completely out of your control. And even if they don't talk about you, you keep on loving the people in your life because that's just who you are. And I was like, okay, that makes some sense because, you know, Bruno just wanted to be a part of his family. Another big one that I liked was Luisa. It's like, you're Luisa. Like Luisa, it often feels like you're carrying the weight of the world on your shoulders, and let's face it, it's because you are. You're known as the strong one among your friends and families, but the people who love you want to help shoulder some of the burden, so let them. A 7-foot frame rats along his back. When he calls your name, it all fades to black. Yeah, he sees your dreams and feasts on your screams. Sorry, I couldn't help it. I just love that song too much. And my girlfriend and I were taking the test, picking different answers, just trying to see what the personalities were. So, it's just a lot of fun. But again, this movie is just, it's a really good movie. It shows a lot of different views on life right now, on society. And it's a lot of, there's a lot of things that I feel people can relate to. And I think that's awesome. You know, that's something that I've tried to do with the stuff that I have created that I haven't done, but it does, you know, like I said, it's just, it's really nice to see that somebody's making this happen for children growing up, you know. So if you haven't seen the movie, check it out. If you have seen the movie, then you know what I'm talking about. I think it's at least in my top 5 Disney animated movies. And when I say that, I'm not talking about Disney in general. I'm talking about the animation of, like, Pixar. But it's not a Pixar production. It's just Disney. So, like, with that, it's like this movie, Moana, like those type of movies, not like The Lion King or anything like that. I do put this in my top 5 of that kind of Disney animated movies, though. So, and then again, the soundtrack is just phenomenal. It's something you can, it's something that, excuse me, sorry, I got excited. But Lin-Manuel Miranda has always made music that is catchy, that you can kind of hum to, that just kind of gets stuck in your head. And yeah, that can be annoying, but at the same time, it's a lot of fun because then you end up getting into character, as you could probably tell from me, because I could not help myself but to sing that verse twice when it came on. So go ahead and check it out. It's a big hit. And again, I just think people would find something that they can relate to. So there you have it, you know, and hopefully, like I said, just if you can, try to share my podcast with whoever you can, Coffee with a Side of Artie, and we'll go from there. You know, I'd like to continue making episodes, and right now I'm in a point in my life where it's kind of hard to focus on one thing. You know, I have a job, and I'm in the verge of moving, and trying to get a car, and I feel like I have a lot on my mind, but I was off this morning, so I decided to make this episode. Hope you enjoyed, And let me get a Bruno quote to end this with, because I like ending these with quotes. Okay, so this one. I don't know. I'm gonna go with Bruno. With his visions and stuff, he became very superstitious. So this is a repeated line where he would go, knock, 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 knock on wood. Have a good morning, and till next time. Bye.